This is InvestTalk, independent thinking, shared success. Justin Klein and Steve Peasley stand ready to take your finance and investment questions and share their unbiased answers. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. The clarity for your path forward starts now. Here is KPP Chief Executive Officer, Financial Advisor, Justin Klein.
Good afternoon, fellow investors, and welcome back to InvestTalk. This is our Tuesday, March 19th, 2024 edition. I'm Justin Klein, and it's Tuesday, and usually, Luke, you take the day off, but I know you're so excited for the InvestTalk Market Madness, so decided to join us once again, so welcome back.
I could not possibly stay away without previewing some matchups that our listeners are going to have tomorrow.
Especially with, you know, the excitement of today and the first round winners, and we're going to get to those in a second, but I want to remind you about the goal of this show, and that is to help you become a better investor. We do that by answering your finance and investment questions, which you can call right now, 800-557, sorry, that's our office number, 888-99-CHART. That is our call-in number. There you go. And you can leave a message and we'll answer it on a future show. Or if you're catching us during our live stream, you can talk to us right now and ask your question live. So either way, that is the main way that we help you become a better investor, teach you the risks and rewards of whatever you are looking at and try to inform you as much as possible so you can make a good decision with your money, not just one time, but consistently. And we also help you by giving you actionable material by discussing topics that are important to various markets and asset classes, as well as giving you data. And now that we are on YouTube, there's data that that you can get that we're posting when we talk about individual stocks. We'll look at the trends of the chart as well as the trends of earnings, sales, profitability, etc. So I encourage all of you to go check that out on YouTube as well. Now, before we get to the rest of the show, I want to announce round one winners for today. There was a lot of eight head-to-head matchups, and the winners were Vertiv, Roblox, Blend Labs, NetApp, Motorola Solution, the other one, Cytokinetics, and Halozyme Therapeutics, and lastly, Fiber, Frontier Communications. So those were the winners for the first round. That was the new economy region. Today we are going to cover the old economy region. Names that maybe aren't as exciting, but Luke and I were looking over them today. I certainly think they're much better businesses. Would you agree?
Yeah, I would say so. There's some good businesses interspersed between these matchups for tomorrow.
Yeah, so it's going to be pretty interesting. And coming up, we will be talking about these pairings and previewing them and giving our picks for what will potentially transpire tomorrow. And tomorrow is Fed Day as well. So that's going to kind of put a wrench in everything. And you could see certain matchups looking good in the morning and flipping the other way by the end of the day. I can certainly see that happening as well. Now, with that said, we're going to talk about the market performance in a bit and run down some show topics. But as usual, we are going to hit on our first caller question now.
Hey, Justin and Luke, this is Tim from Michigan. I was wondering if you could give us your updated thoughts on Southern Copper, SCCO, given the recent surge in the price. Is this something that we should take some profits on, or do you see this new level holding for a while? I'll listen for your response on the podcast. Thanks.
All right, looking at Southern Copper, and if you've been listening for a while, you know we've owned Southern Copper for our clients for some time. It is pretty much the best run large copper mining company out there. And it has a $77 billion market cap headquartered in Phoenix, Arizona, but they have a lot of mining, smelting, refining facilities in Central and South America, 3.8% dividend yield, and it has really broken out. A couple weeks ago, it was trading in the high 70s, and now even after a drop of $2.80 today, it's still at $99.80. So Luka was a bit overbought. So I think, you know, a consolidation period makes sense. But to me, this is just the beginning of the shift into more cyclical parts of the economy and basic materials. And we've said for some time, when it comes to green metals, everyone focuses on lithium, but copper is the most attractive, and you're starting to see that payoff in spades. So I don't know, we're not really cutting back. I guess it depends on his sizing of his position.
Yeah, it definitely does depend how overweight he may be given the recent run-up. So specifically with mining companies, right, a lot of their stock price is going to be associated with how the underlying commodity is doing. So given the run-up in copper this month, it's been good for Southern Copper. Like you said, one of the largest copper companies on planet Earth. You know, something I always say is you never go broke taking profit. So if you find yourself to be more overweight than what your tolerance band would be, certainly take some profit. But keep in mind, it's still a fundamentally sound company. Over the past 5 years, profitability has been trending upward, as is cash flow. They have very little debt. Their earnings are trending upward as well. From a fundamental perspective, the company's in great shape. From a relative price perspective, it might be a little too expensive. Its next 12-month price to earnings is above its five-year average, above even the top of its five-year average at a 28.5. So, I mean, if you're in it for the long haul, if you're a long-term investor like we are, certainly I don't see any reason to trim down in it. But if you are overweight, now would be probably a good time to think about taking a little bit of profit.
Yeah, and for everyone else out there that is thinking about buying into the commodity space, one preface that I see a lot of people have is it's a volatile market. It can easily rally 15, 20%, just as Southern Copper has over the past 2 weeks, as fast as it can drop, you know, 15, 20%. You know, this had a rally up in early December when it was trading around $70 per share, and it hits 88 by, you know, kind of going into year end. And to start the year, it pulled back 12%, all the way back to around $78, from 88 to 70, 78. And now it's up to, you know, hit 104 yesterday. Now it's at 99.80. So you can just see that level of volatility, and you have to be comfortable. Everyone thinks that just because something is in an uptrend, that the level of volatility changes, that the characteristic of that asset class changes. No, it's just the trend is higher, but the interim volatility can be just as high, sometimes even higher. Especially because there's more names, more speculative positions, et cetera. So just be aware of that when anyone is looking at the commodity space, basic material space in general, right? Now we're going into a short break, and the other side, we'll talk about the planned topics for today as well as today's market activity. Please remember, you can call anytime and leave your question on the InvestTalk Voice Bank at 888-99-CHART.
InvestTalk callers make each podcast unique.
I was calling about Intel, if it's worth holding on to, or should I sell it?
Their questions are curious.
Hello, I have saved up around $80,000, and I was wondering what I should do to make it grow.
Careful.
Oh, I'm just wondering, is this a value trap? Because it looks like it's gone down quite a bit.
Concerned.
It's taken quite the tumble today. I've been trying to get out of this position for a while. I think I waited too long.
And clever.
It does seem to be situated in some areas of expanding population.
And Justin Klein, Steve Peasley, and now Luke Guerrero are always ready with their unbiased answers.
And this is, it looks like a classic example of chasing yield. Don't chase the yield.
Next 12 months price to earnings is around 30. I just don't see it at this price.
Don't forget to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART. For investors, the goal of achieving financial freedom requires unbiased information, strategic planning, and determination. Congratulations! You've found the podcast that is dedicated to helping you succeed. InvestTalk.
Now, we have a lot of ground to cover over the next 40 minutes, and our main focus point is about the 10 most important shareholder rights. And many times, Luke, people forget about the privileges you have as a shareholder. So we're going to touch on those shareholder rights, mainly as a minority shareholder, and potentially if you're a majority shareholder as well. So those are the things on the docket for, that's the main focus today. We're obviously going to preview those matchups like we discussed, but also we're going to touch on the probably the biggest news of the day as we go into tomorrow's central bank announcement out of the Fed was the central bank announcement out of Japan today. And it was the end of an era, not just for Japan, but for central banks around the world. They were the last one to exit negative interest rate policy. And I want to touch on that and what that might mean for just asset prices more broadly. And interesting enough, the yen fell today. So that was an interesting tell. So we're going to discuss that, as well as some voice bank questions. One is on buying options and the other is on Brinks, B-C-O. And of course, we welcome your finance and investment questions right now at 888-99-CHART. But we're going to pivot first over to the market today. Luke, it was a decidedly positive day. It really, really surprised me because we are going into Fed Day tomorrow. But it was really across the board positive, both from small caps to large cap. What was your take on why might that have been the case? Because usually these days are more pause days as we wait for the announcement tomorrow.
Yeah, frankly, I didn't see much in terms of something that would change the positioning. Like you said, heading into two Fed meetings, you tend to see flat. This was decidedly up. The S&P 500 up 56 basis points. The Russell 2000 up 54 basis points as well. And really pretty broad. Energy, autos, department stores, semis did really well. There was some news out of a NVIDIA conference about their new chip that was good for that stock, for that company. But I think, frankly, it's just general positioning along themes that there have been for the past couple weeks as we await what comes out of the Fed tomorrow. Like we've talked about, the general expectation of the market is a pause.
Yeah.
Right? There's no one expects any cuts tomorrow. So really what we're going to be looking for is that dot plot going to change? It was an interesting turn from my perspective in that now there's some belief more than before that we could move to a two rate cut scenario this year. So if that pivot does happen, the market pricing it in slightly higher than it was last week, it would be interesting to see how the market would react to that hawkish turn. I don't think that's going to happen. I think they'll probably stay steady, but certainly something to consider.
Yeah, the dollar was strong today, so that hurt commodities more broadly. And the semiconductor space actually fell more broadly. SMCI was down pretty big. I know it was down 10% earlier in the day. I think it only closed down 7 or 8%, but still had a rough day. AMD was down nearly 5%. Tesla down about 1.5%. NIO, obviously the Chinese, one of the largest Chinese EV makers, that was down about 6% today. So some pretty big movers. But across the board, just positive after a decent sell-off yesterday. So we'll get some more clarity on the dot plot, the future path of interest rates, and most importantly, as I said yesterday, QT. Now let's fit in a caller question now from 888-99-CHART.
Hello, InvestTalk. I was hoping you guys could do an analysis of Brinks Co. Ticker is BCO. Bravo, Charlie, Oscar. I like the sector that it's in. I feel like security is something that we'll need and probably need more of in the future. And hoping you guys could tell me if you thought that this company could be a good buy right now, even though the price has already gone up. Looks like next year their earnings are expected to be much higher than previous years. You guys could also just touch on why there could be such a big fluctuation in a company like this's earnings so I can get a better understanding of how these companies work. And I'll listen on the podcast, guys. Thanks as always. Take care. Bye.
All right. Looking at Brinks, and yeah, you probably heard of the name Brinks Security Solutions. So they provide secured logistics, cash management, monitored security services for businesses and governments. And this is a consistent grower of its profits. And this year, earnings are only supposed to go up 4%, but up 29% next year to nearly $10 per share. And it's trading at $85. So forward-looking earnings is somewhere around 9x. Not too bad. Now, it does look like they have a decent amount of debt on their balance sheet. That's probably the biggest worry here, but the cash flow is solid, $500 million free cash flow trailing 12 months. That's pretty good. And the chart is certainly on an upswing. What are you seeing here, Luke?
I'm seeing a pretty high debt level. So their debt level is $3.8 billion on a $3.7 billion market cap, and their interest rate coverage ratio is only 2.12, so it's pretty highly levered. My guess in terms of why its margin is going to improve is they could have some sort of depreciated asset run through its life cycle. It looks like their EBITDA to EBIT difference is increasing relative to last year. That could just be the sole reason why their net margin is increasing. But without digging in, it's kind of difficult to see why these changes may be occurring.
Yeah, they are buying back a lot of shares with that cash flow. So that's boosting, I think, their earnings growth. And so I would say I'm fine with it. It's a good business, but I'm not head over heels with it. All right, we're heading to a break. Ready for your calls at 888-99-CHART.
It's an Invest Talk Tuesday. Justin Klein is here today, taking your calls live. How's your portfolio doing? Are you prepared for continuing market volatility? You've got questions, so call Invest Talk, 888-99-CHART.
Now, let me alert you to the new InvestTalk Classroom episode we have just published. It's concerning the Bitcoin ETFs, and the latest episode of the InvestTalk Classroom looks at the Bitcoin ETF story and its potential impact on the markets. So join myself and Luke as we provide a detailed analysis of what the future might hold in episode 17 of the Bitcoin ETF impact. Now, our focus point today concerns this topic, the 10 most important shareholder rights. And most people don't realize that they have rights when they own common equity, and there are responsibilities sometimes as well. Now, as a common shareholder, you are at the bottom of the ladder of the structure, of the capital structure. But you are in line to receive things like dividends. So let's talk about that, Luke, the 10 most important shareholder rights. And the first one is that dividends, right? Are those dividends? And it's up to the company how they allocate capital, whether they're going to pay down debt, reinvest the profits, maybe make an acquisition, purchase shares, or pay out a dividend. And when they do pay out a dividend, you as the shareholder, you get the per share amount times the number of shares you own. So that's number one. Luke, what would number two be?
Well, number two is the right to information. So that's an important one, because if you have an ownership in a company, mm-hmm. you are entitled to know what you're owning, right? So if a company has anything going on in terms of legal or compliance issues or anything regarding risk, anything regarding how the business is operating, you as a shareholder are entitled to knowing those things if you own a part of that company.
Yeah, that's certainly true. And the next one is the right to elect and nominate directors. That's three and four. So shareholders can cast a vote for proposed directors or withhold their votes. That's within their right as well. And the SEC adopted new proxy access rules in 2010. It allows shareholders to nominate candidates for the board of directors, but you do have to own at least 3% of the voting power of the company's securities and have held them for at least 3 years. So it definitely takes plans to actually nominate them. You can't just go and buy a bunch of shares and start that process. You have to hold them for some time. Now, what about voting on major issues, Luke?
Yeah, really the next three go together, 5, 6, and 7. The first being the right to vote on major issues. And so when you're thinking about major issues, you think about changes in the charter or the bylaws. If one company is going to buy another company, you have a right to vote on the merger. But along with that right to vote, really, which like I said, encompasses the three that I'm going to talk about, the next one is to give an advisory opinion on executive pay. This one is frankly top of mind given what was going on in Delaware related to Elon Musk's compensation in Tesla, right? Part of the issue there is that they didn't believe that shareholders had a actual ability, weren't given an opportunity to voice their opinion on the executive compensation. And along with those voting rights is the last one, which is not only can you vote on these major decisions that are happening with this company, the major corporate decisions, the executive pay, you also have the right to submit a proposal for a proxy vote yourself. So if you think that, for example, the company should fire certain directors or anything that should be put to a full vote of shareholders, for a fee, of course, you have the right to submit those proxy proposals straight to shareholders themselves.
Yeah, and the next one would be to participate in the annual, in their annual meeting of shareholders. You're a shareholder, so you have the right to be there when they do convene. And usually this is where shareholders get to speak with corporate executives. Obviously, the most popular one is the Berkshire Hathaway annual meeting. A lot of people love going to that, talking directly to Warren. And unfortunately, this year, you won't have his partner in crime there. But, you know, that is a right as a shareholder to be there. And the next one, I think, is one of the most important, and that is the right to sue. Meaning you can sue the company, the board of directors, executive officers, or even other shareholders if they were to were to conduct themselves in a wrongful act in some way. And that includes breach of duty, neglect, error, misstatement or misleading statements, or error of omission. And the last one, Luke, is probably the most important, right?
Yeah, and that one's the right to dispose of your shares, right? The right to sell what you own in that company. And there are some caveats. For example, one that is mentioned is, or actually one that's not mentioned, one that is mentioned is the lockup period for an IPO. So if you own shares before an IPO, there's typically an extended window that you can't sell it. One that isn't mentioned often is actually charter limits. So that's something within the bylaws of a company that if a shareholder owns over X percentage, you have to get pre-approval from the company before you sell. Usually it's far exceeding 10, 15, 20%. And it tends to happen more internationally than in U.S. companies. But that's certainly something that institutional investors have to worry about.
And I think this is an important topic, even though I think for a lot of people it might be boring. But, you know, in today's world, investment world, where so many people are in it, the gamble, shall we say, right? Especially as people are gambling on YOLO options and just trying to leverage themselves up to hit it big, right? They lose sight of the fact that you have certain rights as a shareholder, and you are actually investing in a true business, not just the next few days wiggles on the chart. And so many people are just focused on that. And so it's always good to go back to the basics and remind everybody about that. Now, in the next Invest Talk, we'll look into this question. Can nuclear power decarbonize the oil and gas industry? We'll discuss that tomorrow. But for now, I'm Justin Klein with Luke Guerrero, where we are ready to take your calls at 888-99-CHART.
Let's say you've been thinking about learning a new language. Okay, why? I mean, how would it come in handy? And where would you want to use it? Could it be that you have an upcoming international trip? Or maybe you want to connect with family members or friends from a different culture? I think you should know about Rosetta Stone. With millions of users, it's been the world's most trusted language learning program for 30 years. Rosetta Stone is available on your desktop or as an app with audio companion and the ability to download lessons offline. Rosetta Stone truly immerses you in the language you want to learn. It has a built-in, patented speech recognition engine called True Accent. So as you practice speaking, you'll get feedback on how well you pronounce words. With Rosetta Stone, you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. It's an intuitive process designed for long-term retention. You really learn to speak, listen, and think in your new language. Rosetta Stone is an amazing value, so your special skill set is within easy reach. You know you want to do this, so don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, InvestTalk listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off now at rosettastone.com/today.
Every investor is working to build a secure financial future. How they get there and when they get there, that depends on many variables. The more you learn about how the market works, the better your chances. So don't forget to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Justin and Luke. I'm calling about Unity Software. Ticker symbol is U. Seems to have hit some resistance here at about that 25, 26 level. And wanted to get your thoughts if now it's possibly a good time to dip my toes into it. Been looking at this for quite a bit now, and seems like it could be a good long-term hold. Wanted to get your guys' opinion. Looking forward to hearing your answers on the show, and prayers to Steve, and thanks for what you do. Goodbye.
Are looking at Unity Software, and he said it looks like it's hitting resistance, and I think he meant support. Resistance is when it's rising and potentially hitting overhead selling resistance. This is falling, has been falling since pretty much the start of the year when it was in the low 40s. Now we're at $26 even at the close today. And Luke, this is a software provider that was really hyped in 2020, 2021, all about the metaverse and a platform that people can develop games, all types of applications using Unity Software's platform to, I guess, build out their metaverse applications. They've never, I don't think, made money in any quarter, but they are expected to make money this year and next year. Do you think that that's going to happen?
Well, looking over the past 5 years, they have some pretty significant growth in revenue. Five-year annualized growth rate of 41.9%. So that is pretty significant, albeit at the end of this year, it's actually supposed to drop off a little bit, down from $2.1 billion to $1.8 billion. So if they are to make money, it's because they've done a better job controlling their costs. And that could be the case. Their debt load, it's not too bad for them, $2.7 billion on a $10 billion market cap company. But again, in this type of interest rate environment, do you want to be throwing your scarce capital behind a company that has not ever made money before and frankly has some pretty abysmal relative strength? I don't think so.
Yeah, definitely not. And you know, maybe for a bounce, like you said, it's hitting support, but this is not an investment. And you can just look at the reason they don't have a lot of debt is because they've just been a serial issuer of shares. Back in 2020, they had 263 million shares outstanding. Today, 385 million shares outstanding, okay? And they issued a ton of shares in November of 2022 when the stock had spiked up to all-time high near $200 per share, and it's been downhill ever since. Like I said, trading at $26. So it's down nearly 90% from its high. And if you look at its business prospects, they are abysmal. Yes, their estimates are for profits, but based on operating margins, they've been deeply negative for the entire history of them being a public company. And now they have improved from negative 63% in the fourth quarter of 2022 to only negative 38% today. But this is a horrendous business. This is what I call a Ponzi stock. And so I would absolutely run far away from Unity, even though it's hitting some near-term support. Let's go to John in Milpitas, wants to look at GE.
Yes, good afternoon. I would like to ask about GE, should I get in or should I wait for pullback?
Well, GE has, I don't think I need to explain what GE does, but GE has certainly, it looks like, fixed their accounting issues and their leadership issues, and they've always had some pretty solid businesses behind them. It has run up pretty dramatically. Back in late 2022, it was trading around $50 per share. Now it's $173, supposed to make $6 per share next year. That's still a pretty high multiple when you're saying, okay, it's $173, 35 times forward-looking earnings. I don't know. That's a little rich for my blood. What do you think, Luke?
Yeah, I agree. Their profitability increased the last year, but their cash flow has been pretty stagnant. Given its recent run-up and where it stands on a relative valuation basis, it seems a little bit too expensive to me, especially considering it hasn't made much improvement in terms of cash flow and profitability.
Yeah, I would be patient on this to come back to reasonable valuations. I think it's gone a little too far, a little too fast. So on the watch list, but not yet. Thanks for the call. Now let's pivot over to the InvestTalk Market Madness matchups for tomorrow. And I announced at the top of the show of today's winners, or who won today's matchups. And that was in the new economy, but this is the old economy tomorrow. And we're going to highlight the first four matchups. Now, the first one is Agnico Eagle versus Southern Copper. And Luke, we just talked about Southern Copper. But for everyone else out there, Agnico Eagle is a large gold miner. Great track record when it comes to the management of their mines. This is a name we've owned for clients for some time, and it's one of our favorites in the space. Now, the technicals are good, but coming off an overbought situation like most of the gold miners. And so, you know, I think it's kind of 50-50. It just pulled back from 57 all the way down to 54 and change over the past few days. Decent setup going in tomorrow, but I could easily see if the dollar's strong, if the Fed is a little more hawkish than expected. You know, this obviously the Fed announcement is going to play into where gold prices go tomorrow. So it's really all up to the Fed. What about Southern Copper, which we just talked about?
Southern Copper, we just talked about, so I don't need to rehash what it does, but it is a fundamentally strong business. I agree with you, given that tomorrow is Fed Day, I would stay away from a name that is primarily going to get any bounce associated with what happens with gold prices. Not only that, Southern Copper was down 2.73% today. You could see a little bit of bounce tomorrow. I would go with Southern Copper on this one.
I'd probably agree with that just because Southern Copper is certainly in has better momentum, at least near term as well. So the next one is Alpha Metallurgical versus Sinclair SBGI. And AMR is a metallurgical mid-cap. It's definitely cheap, like a lot of the coal names are. Earnings are decelerating, however. It's a price taker, like a lot of commodity players. It's in a pretty strong uptrend that started last summer when it bottomed right around $135 per share. It hit a high just a few weeks back around $445 per share, but it's pulled back now at $317 and change today. So you can see, as I said with that other caller about Southern Copper, all of the commodity names, they are very volatile in both directions. But it's in the midst of a pullback, oversold, and bounced nicely today, up $12.56. I think it's a good setup heading into tomorrow. What about Sinclair?
Sinclair Broadcasting Group, SBGI, is a local and digital provider of content. They own a bunch of local news stations. I know there was some issues with the amount of news stations they own recently. There was a lawsuit trying to extend the amount that one company is allowed to own, but they're pretty much everywhere. Now, in terms of the business, it's kind of struggling, and you can certainly see that in the chart as well. The relative strength is incredibly down year to date. They're down 10%. 52 weeks, they're down 8%. I think I would have to go with AMR on this one just based on momentum.
I agree. Next one would be Century Aluminum versus Primerica. Now, Century Aluminum is a small cap aluminum smelter that mainly sells their products to Glencore, the largest mining firm in the world. Earnings are trending higher, but they have a lot of debt, low cash flow levels. The chart is certainly looking up since the fall when it bottomed around $6 per share. Now we're at $11.73. It's been in this trading range between $10 and $12 pretty much since near the end of December. But it looks like it's losing momentum. It's overbought and it was down nicely today, 54 cents. I think it's not a great setup heading into tomorrow myself. What about Primerica?
Yeah, Primerica, it's a investment company, or rather it's a financial company. So it involves itself in life insurance, investments, savings products. It's been on a decent run. It was up another 1.68% today, especially with a Fed pause likely coming tomorrow. I would expect it to do better than its competition.
Yeah, Primerica, it's one of those names that tends to be, they sell a lot of whole life insurance policy, universal life, et cetera. Usually, they don't do great for their customers, but they have a good marketing machine. So, yeah, they're a profitable name. I would go with Primerica here, just based on that upward momentum and upward trend. All right, let's go to the last one before we get to the second round of our previews. Is CF Industries versus Permian Resources? Permian Resources. Now, CF. This is a name we own for clients. It's benefiting from the arbitrage between natural gas prices here in the U.S. versus the rest of the world. So what they do is they make nitrogen fertilizer, about half of the inputs for artificial fertilizer is natural gas. And so when you can produce it cheaply, produce natural gas cheaply here, create that fertilizer and ship it across the world, you can earn, it's basically a nice, it's kind of another LNG play in a way. And so it's doing very well. Low debt, high profitability, very high free cash flow yield. It is in an uptrend, but approaching some near-term resistance at those October highs. What about Permian?
Yeah, Permian Resources, it's an oil and natural gas name. Its relative strength is incredibly high, as are its cash flow improvements and its profitability. It's been, frankly, on quite the tear, so I think I'm going to stick with my side of the equation on this one with Permian Resources.
All right. Well, that about does it with the matchups for this, our first four matchups for the day. We'll get to the second four later in the show. Now, when people take the time to leave an InvestTalk podcast review on iTunes, I'd like to thank them for the courtesy by getting to the questions quickly. Puma51 says, I'm curious what you think about ETF EQAL and if you like it in the current market environment. This is looks like the Russell 1000 equal weighted ETF. Russell 1000. Is that the top 1000 names?
Top 1,000 names. So it's going to be a large cap index that rather than doing a market cap weighted approach like the Russell 3000 index does, it's going to buy each name equally.
Okay. Well, I tend to like equal weights more than the market cap weight. You just get better value overall. You're not just overweight the biggest names because they're the biggest. So you get and longer term mid and small caps, they tend to outperform even though they're more volatile. And so EQAL will be more volatile than the raw Russell. Russell 1000, but its overall allocation is going to be more balanced. And it looks like it is. It actually leans mid-cap value a little bit. So I like that. So I'm going to give this one generally a thumbs up, especially over a market weighted index like most people buy with the S&P or the Russell 1000 index itself. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, no, nothing really to add. I think generally the size premium is monotonic. So anytime you're overweighting those smaller names within any space, you have a higher expected return over the long run.
Got it. Okay. Well, we are headed to, we're going to head over to another caller question now.
Hey, guys. I was wondering if you could take a look at the company CNX Resources. The ticker is CNX, Charlie November X-Ray. They're a natural gas company, and with natural gas prices being at really record low levels, I thought probably are due for a rebound. And this company has a really low cost structure. I believe it's 105 or 110 per BTU. So even with low gas prices, they're profitable. So I was wondering if you take a look at it. Let me know what you think about natural gas and this company in particular. Thank you. Have a good day.
All right. This is CNX Resources. It is a natural gas exploration and development company, as well as has some midstream assets, meaning some transportation assets in the Appalachian Basin. And yeah, I mean, it's trending higher. Its earnings are pulling back here, $2.57 in 2022. This year, it's only supposed to make $1.54, but it looks like it has a good balance sheet. And obviously the relative strength is good at 76. So this is looking up. What do you see on this company?
Yeah, I'm seeing nothing that I dislike, to be honest. They're, from a relative valuation perspective, it's pretty near the low end of its five-year range. It's got a decent amount of debt, but that's what you'd expect with these types of companies. And like the caller said, you know, natural gas is at a bottom, so you'd expect that this company to not be doing well in terms of current profitability, but when that rebound does happen, this can be a good time to invest in it. One thing that does glare out at me, though, is that there's currently 21.24% short interest. That is incredibly high. So that can work. That can work both ways. That could squeeze up for you, or that could push the price down. For me, I tend to stay away from those names that have incredibly high short interest because I just can't know which direction it's going to go. So until that comes down, I would probably stay away from it.
I actually, in this instance, I kind of like that high short interest because if the trends in energy continue to remain positive as they have for the past month or so, it's going to be fuel for the fire for the buyers there. So I don't mind it. You know, are there better natural gas plays out there? Potentially, but the chart here is pretty strong and their profitability right now is pretty strong as well. So I'll give CNX thumbs up on my end. Now, this is Invest Talk. I'm Justin Klein with Luke Guerrero, and we have one goal here each and every weekday, and that's to help you achieve your own version of financial freedom. And our work continues after this final break. So if you're going to call, you want to do that right now at 888-99-CHART.
Everybody wants a secure financial future, but getting there takes strategy, discipline, and the right information. That means you'll have finance and investment questions. So don't forget to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Now let's close with the last four matchups for tomorrow's InvestTalk Market Madness. And that would be Chemours CC versus Ovintiv, OVV. And for everyone else, Chemours is a mid-cap chemical producer. They have a lot of debt, poor cash flow, and profitability. The chart is in a downtrend, but it did recently bounce a bit higher and into resistance around the, what would that be, the 100 and the 50-day moving average are kind of converging together. So not a great setup heading into tomorrow. Luke, what about Ovintiv?
Well, Ovintiv is another oil, natural gas, and liquids name. I think going into tomorrow, especially given its recent momentum over the past 3 months, up significantly, it's improving in terms of its relative strength. I would probably go with Ovintiv, OVV.
I agree. Definitely has better momentum. And speaking of momentum, the next matchup is a momentum king right now versus Omnicom, and that is Core and Main. CNM is the symbol versus Omnicom, OMC. Now, Core and Main, what they do is they distribute water, sewer, storm drain, and fire protection products. It's a mid-cap name, very strong earnings growth, low debt, high cash flow. Gotta like that. But the chart is on an absolute heater right now. It went from a low back in at the end of 2022, around $19-$20 per share. Now we're at $54.49 today, up big today, up $3.80. So it's certainly overbought. The momentum is strong. We have a little bit of pullback after today's big move. We shall see. But what about Omnicom?
Well, Omnicom is an advertising and marketing agency. Pretty strong. It's got low debt levels, $18 billion market cap company. Over the next 2 years, you see some improving earnings per share. Its cash flow has fallen off, and really the price kind of fell off a cliff last summer, but it's been slowly improving down from a bottom of about $70 a share. Now it's sitting closer to $93, $94 a share, but I just don't think you can dethrone the king here. I'm going to have to go with Core and Main.
Yeah, I think to me it's kind of a crapshoot. Core Main.
It's ripe for a correction, but it's powering.
It is powering higher. Yeah.
So, in Fed week, nonetheless.
That's true. Yeah, I'll go with Core and Main, although anything could happen, I think, between those two. Now, the next matchup is Dorian LPG, is a symbol, versus Lennox, LII. Now, LPG, Dorian, is a small cap owner of LNG tankers. And as you would imagine, with the war that's going on over in Ukraine and the fact that the U.S. has made a lot of deals with European countries to export natural gas from here to Europe, they're doing very well. Profit growth is strong. Although historically it hasn't been that profitable, it's in an uptrend, just completed a pullback near the 200-day moving average and starting to move up again. So I think there's a decent setup going into, going into tomorrow. What about Lennox?
Lennox engages in manufacturing and design of heating, ventilation, and air conditioning. And it's been on a tear for quite some time. Its relative strength is really high. Its cash flow has been improving. Its profitability has been pretty steady. And it's been in a significant and continuing uptrend with no real corrections over the past year. It's a tough one. I think, like you said, LPG has a pretty good setup. But I think I'm going to go with mine. I'm going to go with Lennox.
I think that's one that will definitely be at the whims of the Fed because they have a lot of debt. Lennox does. So if interest rates go up, you know, they might have a little setback. But
tomorrow, yeah, tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll go with Lennox on this one. Now the last one is Eaton versus General Electric, two industrial powerhouses, $121 billion market cap for Eaton, and is definitely benefiting from investment in the electrical grid and data centers, clean balance sheet, strong setup for tomorrow, but it is overbought. What about GE, which we talked about?
General Electric, we talked about. I don't need to rehash that. Over the past 3 months, it's been a little bit stronger. I think that trend continues for tomorrow. I'm going to go with GE.
All right. I'll go with Eaton, just to be a little different
Switch
for
it
tomorrow.
Up.
Switch it up. Well, we shall see. We'll announce those winners for this round tomorrow, but that about does it. I'm Justin Klein with Luke Guerrero, and that completes another Invest Talk program. We thank you for listening. We encourage you to tell your friends and family about our free podcast downloads, which you can find anytime at iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play. And be sure to rate and review on iTunes as well. Independent thinking, shared success. This is Invest Talk. Good night.
Invest Talk is a trademark of KPP Financial. Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor firm which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Steve Peasley is president, and Justin Klein is chief executive officer of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial. Thank you for listening, and your comments and questions are welcome on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.